I did not begin to write poetry early in life, though I loved experimenting with the metrical forms and rhythms of verse. Only as I came to establish my own poetic identity did I understand how deeply rooted it was in dreams and memory, in the very substance of the earth, in the love that sustained and fashioned me and would remain when the world of childhood was gone. The individual mystery remains beyond logic or reason. Father and Child, Barn Owl. Daybreak. The household slept. I rose, blessed by the sun. A horny fiend, I crept out with my father's gun. Let him dream of a child obedient, angel mild, old no-sayer, robbed of power by sleep. I knew my prize, who swooped home at this hour with daylight-riddled eyes to his place on a high beam in our old stables, to dream light's useless time away. I stood, holding my breath in urine-scented hay, master of life and death, a wisp-haired judge whose law would punish beak and claw. My first shot struck. He swayed, ruined, beating his only wing, as I watched afraid by the fallen gun. A lonely child who believed death clean and final, not this obscene bundle of stuff that dropped and dribbled through loose straw tangling in bowels, and hopped blindly closer. I saw those eyes that did not see mirror my cruelty, while the wrecked thing that could not bear the light nor hide hobbled in its own blood. My father reached my side, gave me the fallen gun. End what you have begun. I fired. The blank eyes shone once into mine and slept. I leaned my head upon my father's arm and wept. Owl blind, in early sun, for what I had begun.
Alter Ego. Who stands beside me still? Nameless, indifferent to any lost or ill motion of mind or will, whose pulse is mine, who goes sleepless and is not spent. Mozart said he could hear a symphony complete, its changing harmonies clear, plain in his inward ear, in time without extent. And this one, whom I greet, yet cannot name or see, save as light's sidelong shift, who will not answer me, knows what I was, will be, and all I am, beyond time's desolating drift. In half-light I rehearse Mozart's cascading thirds. Light's lingering tones disperse. Music and thought reverse their flow. Beside dark roots, dry crickets call like birds. That morning, when I came from childhood's steady air to love like a blown flame, and learned time will reclaim all music manifest. Wait then beside my chair, as time and music flow nightward again. I trace their questioning voices. Know little, but learn, and go on paths of love and pain to meet you face to face. Burning Sappho. The clothes are washed. The house is clean. I find my pen and start to write. Something like anger forks between my child and me. She kicks her good, new, well-selected toys with spite around the room and whines for food. Inside my smile, a monster grins and sticks her image through with pins. The child is fed and sleeps. The dishes are washed. The clothes are ironed and aired. I take my pen. A kind friend wishes to gossip while she darns her socks. Scandal and pregnancies are shared. The child wakes, and the rector knocks. Invisible inside their placid hostess, a fiend pours prussic acid. Night now. Orion first begins to show. Day's trivial angers cease. All is required until one wins at last this hour. I start to write. My husband calls me, rich in peace, to bed. Now deathless verse, good night. In my warm thighs, a fleshless devil chops him to bits with hell-cold evil. All's quiet at last. The world, the flesh, the devil's burning in my brain. Some air of morning stirs afresh my shaping element, the mind with images of love and pain. Grapples down gulfs of sleep. I'll find my truth, my poem, and grasp it yet. The moon is gone. The Pleiades set. Mother who gave me life. Mother who gave me life. I think of women bearing women. Forgive me the wisdom I would not learn from you. It is not for my children I walk on earth in the light of the living. It is for you, for the wild daughters becoming women. Anguish of seasons, burning backward in time, to those other bodies, your mother and hers, and beyond. Speech growing stranger on thresholds of ice, rock, fire. Bones changing, heads inclining to monkey bosom, lemur breast, guileless milk of the world. I prayed you would live to see Halley's comet a second time. The sister said, when she died, She was folding a little towel. You left the world so, having lived nearly 30,000 days. A fabric of marvels, folded down to a little space. At our last meeting, I closed the ward door of heavy glass between us and saw your face crumple. Fine threadbare linen, worn, still good to the last, then somehow smoothed to a smile so I should not see your tears. Anguish. Remembered hours. A lamp on embroidered linen. My supper set out. Your voice calling me in as darkness falls on my father's house.
In hospital. Morning. I dare not stir. For what may wake? For what pain may wake? My daughter yesterday, unwillingly for my sake brought here, carried with her this jar full of odd things, stones, shells, glass, scavengings from our last holiday, sea toys, child's jewels, rolled to smooth anonymous shapes. She filled the jar with water to bring a gleam back from their chilled and speechless world. They hold salt air, soft stone, clear light, and a swallow's ragged flight, wings closed, continuing in air between wave and wave. Arrogant on that shore, I raced with my child. Pain splinters me. I am cracked like glass. I taste salt, my own fear. Can save nothing, am ground, degraded on my own fragments, abraded featureless. And am free of pain for a brief space. A fire-talented tongue will choose its truth. I do not bear what's gone. Do not refuse what's yet to come. The grace of water rinsed, remade these stones. My tongue's betrayed by pain. They speak my prayer.
An illumination. On a raw winter's afternoon, I walked in a poor part of town, in my warm coat of yellow wool, fuzzy with a thick golden pile. Troubled by a grim dream I'd had the night before, that I was dead and walked unseen among the living. I put my arm round my daughter's waist and it curled through her like a mist. There's a certain kind of bleak front yard that fills me with neurotic angst. I passed one where a small child played, barefoot, ill-clad, with a bad cold, among spindly fuchsias and caprosma, making a heap of torpid snails. He looked up, saw me, and came close. Jumping onto the low brick wall, he hugged me in a warm embrace and asked me, as I stroked his hair, "Are you a lady or a bear?" "What do you think?" he thought. "A bear." I bore the radiance of his smile. At last he stropped his streaming nose on my soft coat and ran inside. Memories of no usefulness crowd in the flux of time, but still the sun of his enchantment glows. in the middle of life. Hopeless in middle age to soften those hearts long petrified by hate, or melt from features loved so often in friendship's warmth, their desolate mantle of self-sustaining spite. We see ourselves in callous light, stripped of the vanity that conjured for everyone an emperor's suit. Who can drink flattery uninjured, or banquet on illusion's fruit? Unwelcome nourishment, but real, is truth's unpalatable meal. We need our enemies to teach us what friends in kindness never show, where magnanimity can't reach us, the darts of hatred lodge and glow, lighting our follies and pretensions, our self-esteem's absurd dimensions. Think of a still-life painter toiling to keep the bloom of life intact. Fish, fruit, and blossom slowly spoiling, while his brush holds the flowers erect, the fruit unwrinkled, and the flesh sea-lustered on the stinking fish. All that can perish falls apart. The labours of self-love can cease. But in that gallery of the heart, where memory hangs each masterpiece of things unalterably past, the wisdom and the pain will last.
Suburban Sonnet. She practices a fugue, though it can matter to no one now if she plays well or not. Beside her on the floor, two children chatter, then scream and fight. She hushes them. A pot boils over as she rushes to the stove, too late. A wave of nausea overpowers subject and counter-subject. Zest and love drain out with soapy water as she scours the crusted milk. Her veins ache. Once she played for Rubinstein, who yawned. The children caper round a sprung mousetrap where a mouse lies dead. When the soft corpse won't move, they seem afraid. She comforts them and wraps it in a paper featuring tasty dishes from stale bread.
The wine is drunk. The wine is drunk, the woman known. Someone in generous darkness dries unmanly tears for what's not found in flesh or anywhere. He lies beside his love and still alone. Pride is a lie. His finger follows eye, nostril, outline of the cheek. Mortal fatigue has humbled his exulting flesh, and all he'd seek in a loved body's gulfs and hollows changes to otherness. He'll never ravish the secret of its grace. I must be absent from myself, must learn to praise love's waking face, raise this unleavened heart, and sever from my true life this ignorant sorrow. I must, in this gross darkness, cherish more than all plenitude the hunger that drives the spirit. Flesh must perish, yet still, tomorrow and tomorrow, be faithful to the last, an old blind dog that knows the stairs and stays obedient as it climbs and suffers. My love, the light we'll wake to praise beats darkness to a dust of gold. Carnal Knowledge 1. Roll back, you fabulous animal. Be human. Sleep. I'll call you up from water's dazzle, wheat-blonde hills, clear light and open-hearted roses. This day's extravagance of blue, stored like a pulse beat in the skull. Content to be your love, your fool, your creature tender and obscene. I'll bite sleep's innocence away and wake the flesh my fingers cup, to build a world from what's to hand, new energies of light and space, wings for blue distance, fins to sweep the obscure caverns of your heart, tongue to lift your sweetness close, leaf speech against the window glass, a memory of chaos weeping, mute forces hammering for shape, sea strip and sky strip held apart for earth to form its hills and roses, its landscape from our blind caresses, blue air, horizon, water flow. Bone to my bone, I grasp the world. But what you are, I do not know. New music. Who can grasp for the first time these notes hurled into empty space? Suddenly a tormenting nerve affronts the fellowship of cells. Who can tell for the first time if it is love or pain he feels, violence or tenderness that calls plain objects by outrageous names and strikes new sound from the old names? At the service of a human vision, not symbols, but strange presences, defining a transparent void. These notes beckon the mind to move out of the smiling context of what's known. And what can guide it is neither wisdom nor power, but love. Who but a fool would enter these regions of being with no name? Secure among their towering junk, the wise and powerful congregate, fitting old shapes to old ideas, rocked by their classical harmonies in living sleep. The beggar's stumps bang on the stones. Nothing will change. Unless, wakeful with questioning, some mind beats on necessity, and being unanswered, learns to bear emptiness like a wound that no word but its own can mend, and finds a new imperative to summon a world out of unmeasured darkness, pierced by a brilliant nerve of sound.
A public place. Nothing is strange. The noise and lights assault you. Boches, queer birds, Grim fiends with overgrown genitals make gestures to revolt you. Skeletons flourish broken shafts of bone. Kings, generals, famous lovers, none is missing. Soured saints with mocking devils still at heel. But there's no torture, neither is there kissing. There'd be no point in either. You can't feel. Your pure intelligence at last. You boasted, spilling your claret into someone's hair. At least we'll be together when we're roasted. I shan't mind hell if all my friends are there. And so they are. The crowd. The ones you flattered. The less successful, those who flattered you. Those with whom you discussed, as if they mattered, lost masterpieces, the great work you'd do if family worries, criticism, letters, meetings and money troubles were removed, and now they are, eternally. No fetters hamper your genius now. Your point is proved. Verses flow in a never-ending torrent. Your friends can't wait to hear. Applause, applause. How the stream sparkles now that those abhorrent critics are done. Right on, for when you pause, you hear the voice of someone else reciting those deathless works you had no time to start. Or some invisible hand turns up the lighting on endless walls of endless works of art. Fugues, nocturnes, trios, plays of every nation, operas, ballets. Hopeless to resist such sound and light in every combination. Darkness and silence simply don't exist. Keep writing. You can take applause for granted. Your powers won't fail. Here, nothing can go wrong. Art for art's sake. That's what you always wanted and shall have always. Art is very long.
Terminal Ward. Orchards and fields are gone. She looks out through her last window, street after street, to the threshold of new factories. Grandchildren are brought with flowers, grow restless, bicker for the fruit she cannot eat. She shuts her eyes against a world she cannot hear. In the disabling air, and spins in the delirium of the grand depths of pain, giving her life away. Lungs bubble, her skull cracks, pounded on rock, a crab tears at her breast. Something takes flight. It is morning. She wakes to nurse her firstborn child. Her breast aches, swollen with milk. Birds in her orchard chime and quarrel where ripe fruit draws the heavy branches down. Early walk. Well loved, well dressed, well housed, well nourished. I walk from where the town has flourished, four square on money and the raw neutrality of solid brick. Spirit, you heart-loose scavenger, bring me those mornings when I saw these tangling weeds and grasses quick to colour sunshine, when clear air sustained the swallow's prophecy. Collage will tear. The citizenry slap on insecticided shops, civility and cleanliness, which the wind rips away to places where the old live on crusts and slops under the fringe of loneliness. Death sweeps too many names and faces. I was a child, believing all were loved as I was loved. The fall of sparrows was my text of pity. An old man combs the council tip for comforts. Comforts refugee. His bleak wind scours my charming city. His hunger puckers my firm lip. Christ, keep my anger sharp in me. Morning again. Morning again, though not yet light. The next door bantams call me up in a strange world where dream and waking melt in a featureless expanse. Some time of violence has been close. No relics mark that endless plain, but someone's buried. Some new ghost between one cockcrow and the next is fretting. Now a figure rises, so distant, one can only tell from its stretched arms it might be human. And close behind, another presence, not human, marks its stumbling flight. Cloudy enough to blur the line of any possible horizon, yet like enough to all I fear, for me to know I am the human figure, with aching arms extended, casting no shadow, reaching out for substance in my flight from terror. Safety, calm light on leaf and feather. Here is the news, and now the weather. An ordinary human shadow attends me as I fill the kettle.
Being in the world, alone behind the wheel, half stupid with fatigue, I fell briefly asleep on the Midland Highway. God or someone slapped my life back in my empty hands before metal shaped my ends. Now there's iron in my soul, iron in my tongue too, clapping against the skull. Somebody, something loves me enough to keep me here. Let my enemies take care.
Thank you.